for those people that are watching online. I thank you for those people that are out doing their thing today. Just let them enjoy this weekend as we already prayed, and remember the sacrifice that was made for us by all those who served in the wars and died. We love you and praise your name. Amen. We're in a series called Core Transformation, Who You Are When Nobody Is Around. Who you are, and we're talking about your character, that very basic part of who you are when nobody else is really looking. And so today, we're going to I've been in Hebrews the last 3 weeks, but we're going to switch out of Hebrews. So if you got your Bibles or whatever kind of device you have, your sundials, whatever you got, your phone, open them up to 2 Kings, and we're kind of taking a break from Hebrews. We'll be back there next week. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Today I hope this message encourages everyone that is here. And I wanted to speak to those of you who feel a little overwhelmed on Memorial Day. If you're like me, there's a lot going on. You're in need right now. And if you feel like you don't have enough energy, if you feel like maybe you don't have enough time, if you feel or you sense you don't have enough money, if you feel you came in here low on faith and you rolled up in here today and you're going, I'm barely gasping, I barely have enough to go where I need to go, this message is for you. If I had to subtitle this message today, I'd call it Crazy Faith for Crazy Supply. Crazy Faith for Crazy Supply. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says this. Here's how our story starts. I haven't talked about this for years and years and years, this story. I think it was about 2:13. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know what? You know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." And Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Because your servant has nothing here at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Small jar of oil. There's a couple principles in this lesson today. There's Elisha, there is a widow, and there's these sons that are referred to. Elisha replied to her when he said these words, "How can I help you? How can I help you? Tell me, what do you got in your house? What do you got in your house?" he says. And she says, "I got nothing except these small olive oil jars." And so today for our lesson, I'm going to use one of the things that's not olive oil. But in 2013, our church, we went 2 times to Jamaica. And it was an incredible trip. And we did lots of work at an orphanage. We did some work with VBS. We did some work building some things. And I discovered a drink called Ting. It is not alcoholic, by the way. If you're thinking it's alcohol, it's not. But it's a grapefruit-based drink. And I discovered it at the very end of our first trip there. And I've longed to have this drink so much. I keep this bottle in my office. This has been there since 2013. Because I didn't think I could get it in the United States, but you can. You can order it online, or of course you can go to Jungle Gyms, which many of you know Jungle Gyms, over in Ohio. So anyway, this bottle of Ting saved my life, because in Jamaica, they don't have ice. Nobody has ice. And so we found cold bottles of Ting, and it's grapefruit juice, and I hated grapefruit juice. I hated it, but it was so valuable that I began to every time I went there, I would take this bottle, I would go get it, because I was so, warm water was just not my thing. And so I would go there and I would drink this bottle. So it's very valuable to me. And I want you to understand that this bottle that this woman is talking about was very valuable to her. And she knew it, but I want you to remember, not the Ting bottle, but I want you to remember this oil that we're talking about. And I want you to notice that we don't get this poor widow's name. It doesn't give us a name. It just tells us Elisha is there. So the big dog is there. He's done so many neat things around there. God has used him in incredible ways. And he shows up to this widow, and he says, what do you got? And she tells him the problem. I want you to understand that we believe that this woman, all the scholars say that this woman was probably married to the prophet Obadiah. And the Bible tells us she's got a problem. She lost her husband. That's a problem, especially back then, because there goes the earnings. The earnings were gone. There wasn't two family households back then. And so the IRS is coming to get her sons and to put them in slavery to pay for the debt that she is going to incur, because she's got nothing left but this bottle of very valuable liquid to her. And here's something I always try to remember when I face similar problems like this woman in my own life. It's amazing how riled up that I can get about small things in life. And really small things really make a big deal in my life. Do you find that sometimes? And I call those entry-level problems. Most of the things that we have are entry-level problems, but it has an amazing ability to throw off my game. Something very small and minute. The entry-level problem: you have a 21-year-old car and it breaks down a lot. Well, it's going to break down. You have a brand new car and you have to take it back to the shop time and time and time again. That's an entry-level problem, but it makes us so aggravated. My tire's blue. When's the last time you put a set on? 6 years ago, and they're great. And it riles us up, and it makes us so, we get to the point where we're like, I don't know what to do. Some of you here rolled in here with entry-level problems today, but some of you have graduate-level problems that you showed up with. Your marriage, it's barely hanging on. And the person that you said I do to, you're feeling like, I want to say I don't. I don't know what I'm even doing here. Your stress and your anxiety, like, what is going on with our world? What is happening? All these unrests and wars, and we're at war and we're not at war, and prices going up and down and up and down, and just, man. And somebody's sick in your life. Somebody's really sick, and they got something going on. And your economy, the economy is hurting you really bad, and you're here today and you're going, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. There we go again. You have a graduate level problem. You're here today and you're in pain. You're here today and it is in a horrible way. And here's the key concept for what I want to share with you today. Don't check out. God wants to build crazy faith into your core. He wants to build a faith that surpasses all understanding, that when the world is going to hell in a handbasket around you, you can sit there and look at it like it's in slow motion and just go, yep, this is what God's doing. This is what God's doing. Instead of going, and freaking out. I'm not a good screamer. When you don't have what you really want, you will discover that God is all you really need. Let me say that one more time. When you don't have what you really want, you will discover that God is what you really need. That's it. That's all you need. This woman that Elisha comes to, she's in need. And what does the prophet do? What does he do? Let me tell you first what he doesn't do. He doesn't come up to the woman and says, "Stinks to be you." You know? How many times do we say that to people? Oh, look at that guy. There's got a tire. He's busted. And, sorry, buddy. Sorry. You know, I got to be over here doing this thing for the church today. Okay. He doesn't blow her off. He doesn't say, oh, I'll be giving you good thoughts. I hate good thoughts. What the heck are good thoughts? Tell me what a good thought is. I hope you get through that. That's stupid. Thanks, Mikey. What is it? Well, that's a possibility. That's a possibility. But what does that help somebody? If you said, I'm hungry, and I said, I'll have good thoughts about that, what would you think? Yeah, but what if I came to you and I gave you a cookie? Then I would help you, right? Yeah. Yeah, there we go. All right. He helped. He didn't even know it. Don't think about somebody. Tell somebody, I'm going to pray with you. Pray with them. Don't say, I'm going to pray with you. If somebody tells you they're barely sucking air, you say, let's pray. Because a lot of times when you say, I'll pray for you, you know what you do? You don't. You walk away and you forget. That's exactly what Elisha doesn't do. So Elisha replied to him, what he said. He said, these five words that I want you to write down today. If you write down anything I say, write this down. And it's not what I say, it's what he said. How can I help you? How can I help you? How can I help you? See, if more of us did that, this world wouldn't be where it is right now. How can I help you? Not how can the government help you? Not how can the school help you? Not how can your somebody, how can I help you? How can I help you? Elisha says, here's what I need you to do. He says, tell me, what do you got in your house? What do you got in your house? In other words, he doesn't say, I'm here with all the answers, because none of us are. He doesn't say, I'm just here to bless you and to pray over you. He says, what do you got in your house? And it's interesting to me that she's hurting and she's lacking. And what he says to her is, what do you got in the house? And so she goes and she gets her bottle of Ting. And she brings it out and says, this is all I got. Something very valuable. It says, this is all that I have. Isn't it interesting when you're hurting and when you're lacking, all you can do is see what you don't have? You ever been there? All you can see is what you don't have. You look at it and go, man, what's going on here? I don't have enough money, and I can't help someone. Don't ask me to help anybody. I'm barely making it now. Don't ask me. I don't have a spouse. I don't have a meaningful life right now. I need a spouse. And go talk to some of these people with spouses today. Their life is not all wonderful either. Just because you don't have it doesn't mean that you can't have some joy or have something going on in your life. It's funny that when you're in need, all you focus on is what you don't have. She'd lost everything, and all she could see was her lack, not her bottle of Ting. I asked the question, this question, what do you do when you don't have much? Because I'm not just talking money. I'm talking about a lot of lack. Because a lot of us walked in here today with some lack. What do you have in your house? He said, your servant has here nothing but this bottle of oil, except a small jar of oil. This little thing. So I say to you today, stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. Take what you have and put it to work. What good is that small jar of oil? It was actually an incredible value. Oil was used in cooking. It was an incredible thing. It was used to help heat lamps back then. It was used as a moisturizer. It was used as a offering to God. It was used to help anoint people in religious services. It was very valuable. But she didn't have anything except this little old measly bottle of Ting. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that can use Ting. He has done that for 22 years in this fellowship here. We've never had a surplus in our bank accounts, but right now, I got to be honest with you, our jars are getting pretty empty. They're getting empty, but we still have a bottle of Ting, and the bottle of Ting is you and me. The last 6 months have just been weird around here. And we've had to go in and use our savings. Wade talked to you a little bit about it. I'm just telling you, we have a need. And I'm bringing it out to the body. And I want you to know that. We have the body of Christ. So I'm not scared. I'm not worried. Because I know we have a bottle of Ting. All through Scripture, you'll see it time and time again. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Whenever Jesus had taught, he would teach. He would go somewhere and he would teach. There's one specific story where he taught thousands of people, and everybody was hungry, and his disciples come in and say, "Who's going to eat? Who's going to feed this crowd? Who's going to do it?" And they're looking around at everybody but them. Who's going to do it? None of them ponied up. All of a sudden, a little boy like Mikey shows up and says, "All I've got is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Here they are. Would you use these? Can you use these? I don't know what you're going to do with them, but can you use these 5 loaves and 2 fish? We serve a God who can do a lot with a little, not just in our corporate body here, but in your personal life. Some of you came in here today and you're low on faith and you're going, "I don't even know if I believe in God anymore. I don't even know if he's real. I don't even know if he's something that I could put my faith in." But the Bible says what? If you've got faith as little as what? Mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, "Move, mountain," and the mountain moves. We serve a God who does lots with littles. What do you have today? What do you have? Let's stop waiting for what we want and start working with what we have. So many people say this: "We can't because we don't have that." And I say, "We can because we don't do this." Because we don't open ourselves up to God and say, "What can you do through me?" Stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. Some of you say, "Well, Jeff, I'm not good up front, people. I don't want to lead a Bible study at our church. I don't know much about the Bible." Listen, God can use your little and do so, so much. We need leaders to lead Scripture around here to say, "Let's open up the Word and say what God is doing for us, for me." We need you. You don't have to be a professional. We need you. Jesus said the servant is greatest of all. It's not about knowing things. It's about serving. What can I do to help? What can I do to help? Jesus said the servant is the greatest of all. Remember that. Not you getting served. Stop waiting for what you want. Start working with what you have. I pray this speaks to you today. Let's move on. The second thing he says is this: we're going to offer God what we have, and we're going to trust him to give us what we need. We're going to give him our bottle of ting, and we're going to see what he does with the bottle of ting. 2 Kings 4 through 3 through 7. Elisha says this, I think. Yeah, he did. I put it there. That was great. Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars." What a weird freaking request. "Don't just ask for a few, then go inside and shut the doors behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each one is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." "What?" He replied, "There's not a jar left." And then the oil stopped flowing. She went out and she told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left." Man, what a great, great example to us today. God shows us in his word what to do when you have a little, what he does with a lot. Get those empty jars. Go get some empty jars. So the sons went and got some empty jars. I pulled out 2 solder bottles. I found these in the dump. I got these in my thing back there. This is a Jeff bottle. This is solder's. It says solder's on it. I found this. My dad actually found this in a dump, and I've kept it. It's probably 100 years old, so don't steal it. Okay? There's an empty bottle. And then here's another. Oops. There goes $100. And then I found a Jeff soda bottle. Look there, Jeff soda. So I found what I had and put, it's just a representation. I want you to know that you got to go look for some bottles, some empty bottles, and say to God, "Here, fill these up." That's it. "Here, you fill them up." "I can't fill them up. I can't go get a third job. I got 2 jobs now." You fill them up. You fill up the jars. She had, in faith, she offered what she had for what she needed. And then verse 5, she left him, she shut the door, and left her son. And they brought the jars to her, and they kept bringing jars. And what'd she do? She just keeps filling them up. Give me some more, give me some more, give me some more. And the son said, we got no more. There's no more bottles. Wow. And the point is this, as long as there's an empty jar, as long as there's an empty jar, God would fill it. But there were no more jars. He stopped filling it. She went and told the man of God. She said, here's the good news. Let's go sell all these bottles and we'll pay our debt and we'll have some to live on. Your debt has been paid for. Your sons can live out their lives and they don't have to worry about it anymore. This is a crazy request to go empty out everything that she has. Everything that she has is in that bottle. Everything that she has is in that bottle. And he tells her, pour it out and do give it to somebody else. That's scary. Go get a bunch of jars. How's that apply to us? Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. I think I put that too. But as we have this treasure in jars of clay, did I put another one? I think I did, but maybe I didn't. But we have this. Nope, I didn't. So that's okay. We'll deal with that one. See, I knew there was one I didn't put. That was it. Here it is. We have this treasure in jars of clay, which was what? You know what that treasure is? Anybody know? Bueller? Jesus. It's Jesus in jars of clay. And this, that's our body, that we are, we're the clay pots, but the clay part, you know, I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here's my handle. Here, I don't know. Anyway, we're the clay pot. You're the clay pot. And what's God looking for? All he's looking for is empty bottles. Empty bottles. That woke some of you up. He's looking for empty bottles, empty vessels to fill up. You're the empty vessels. You came in here today empty in some regards, in some respect. You came in here empty, and he wants to fill you up. He doesn't want you to just go home and say, that was a nice lesson. Thanks, Jeff, for doing that today. He wants you to stop waiting for what you want, and he wants you to start working with what you got. You will discover that our God is all you really needed in all. He's it. You don't need anything else. You say, Jeff, that's ludicrous. It is not. It is not. And so today, this Memorial Day weekend, I come to you today and say, will you let him fill you up in that point of need? You came in here stressed to the max. You came in here fearful. You came in here lost, and you don't know where you're going. Let him fill you up. Let him do what he can with what you give him, and you allow him to do. I'm going to pray, and the band's going to come up, and they're going to play a little bit, and then we're going to have what we call a time of ministry. And so come on up, guys, as I pray.